Tuesday, June 27th, 2006, Upon Further Review, episode number 3. This is kind of like a third date. Now you know we're serious.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
Your heart's beating. All right, then. Upon Further Review, welcome in once again. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we have reached episode number 3, my dear. It's third time is the charm, I guess, or something
like
that.
That's what they say.
Yeah, apparently. So hi, everyone out there. I want to thank everybody for listening as usual. And we have a couple of things that we want to, I guess, a couple of those famous loose ends that we need to tie up first before getting onto the show proper. Quite a few things to do today.
I want to pull a Greg first, actually.
Okay.
Because usually you're the one that has to say, oh, we have all of those listeners. Thanks. I want to say what's up to our Australian fan.
Yeah, we got an Australian fan. And I know this guy, actually. Did I tell you that?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, he's a guy that we had a little misunderstanding on Podcast Pickle because he was posting in a thread about reviewing, and I posted in the same thread, not because I was trying to drown him out, just because I was like, well, we're on the subject. We also review things. And so we had a little disagreement, but it was all fine. It worked fine. And okay. He actually has a weblog, which the name of which I have now forgotten because I don't know. Anyway, his name is Tim. He posts as Agile on the podcast boards, and he has a podcast review blog, and he's actually a fan of ours down under. So, hey, Tim, what's going on?
Do you know where in Australia?
I don't remember. Maybe he can comment or email or something.
Can you tell him that we've both been to Australia and that we love it?
I did not, but it is beautiful, and we do love it. That's true.
All right, so back on to what you were
saying. So back to him. But that's actually a good segue because there's some other countries, too. I noticed that we have had people from Hong Kong, from Taiwan, from Singapore, from the Netherlands, Portugal, Italy, England, and other places. So we are and of course Australia, as we said. So
again, I'll say...
International.
I'll say again, as I did last time, that if anyone wants to fly us out to any of those places... We are quite willing to come and review anything your heart desires.
And when Clea says, if everyone wants, she means if we want to go to your country, then you should submit stuff to us now so we can do that.
Greg, that's not at all what I mean, and right. I don't appreciate that at
all. I know, I apologize. right. So, yeah, so we want to thank everybody. And by the way, one other thing about the website, too. If you take a look at the sidebar on the left of our website, you'll notice that there's now a little map icon because we've actually put up, in honor of all this international, you know, community, we put up a world map, and you can actually click on the little Frapper map there, and it'll bring you to the page, and you can just type in where you live, and, you know, you can put a name if you're worried about being found out, like Anonymous Joe or something like that, and it'll be put on our world map, and then everyone can see this small little family we call the Upon Further Review family. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I was thinking clan, but if you want to go with family, that's okay.
I just think the connotations are better, you know? Clan makes you worry about
people. Okay, racist.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we want to avoid. So, thanks for everybody for listening. Okay.
All right.
So, on to the show. We have a few things that we want to review. One of them is going to be pretty much just me reviewing it because Clea doesn't know anything about this. But I have to send a shout out to PodPress, which is what we use to actually publish this podcast, because PodPress kicks all kinds of butt, and there's several reasons for that. First of all, those of you who know something about WordPress will know perhaps a little bit about what I'm talking about. When we started hosting this website, I didn't know a whole lot about how to do it. I had experience with some web stuff, but not really at any kind of complicated level. So I got WordPress, which is a well-known kind of blogging platform, and it's great, but it doesn't do a good job with publishing podcasts. And so this guy, who I believe his name is Dan, and oh heavens, I can't remember his last name, Alan, I really should, but he goes under the name of Mighty Seeker. He's a big Mighty Mouse fan, which you can tell if you go to his webpage. He'd invented a podcast publishing program called PodPress. You can get it at www.mightyseek.com/podpress. And it's free. And the great thing about him is not only is this a great program and really easy to use, but he pretty much is the most accessible developer of all time. I've actually chatted with him several times. Because that's the thing, like, I like the WordPress people, but there's times if you post something on their forum, they're like, well, if you only knew the square of the hypotenuse and you coded with the HTML blah, 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 then you would know how to do this, and I don't understand or speak blah, 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 blah. So,
yeah, but you need to work on that, you know, and these side routes just aren't helping at all.
I know, it's true, so it's a limitation of mine. But in the meantime, Dan, and again, I'm sorry for getting your last name, Dan, Dan is the developer of this, and he's just incredibly helpful and is able to communicate things in a very good way. By the way, he's also, as I found out, I felt like, I said this to a friend of mine, I felt like I was talking to the Moses of the internet with him, because it turns out that he's responsible for providing the database for iTunes, of podcasts, that is. He's responsible for providing the initial podcast database to Podshow, which is Adam Curry's thing. So, and he's like a web security guy. So this guy is like very heavily internet connected, and he's a nice guy to boot. And he's my age, which is a little distressing that he does this much stuff and he's my age. But, you know. Anyway, so you can find all this at mightyseek.com/podpress. Check out his podcast because he's got a security one. I'm going to give this a 4.5 out of 5. I'm not going to give it the extra half of a point because I think he would agree that there's still a few, you know, kinks and bugs and things to be worked out. But for the most part, this is an incredible program. And I think within like a month or 2 months, it'll be a 5 out of 5. This is a great program.
I'm going to...
Your thoughts.
I'm going to check off the I don't know option.
Okay. And an average of 4.5 and I don't know equals 4.5.
There you go.
So, yeah. So that's PodPress, and I really like it. It's great. Okay. So moving on. We have three things that we're going to be reviewing that are big, made sort of larger reviews today. First is a PlayStation 2 game and its other games as well. This is our first game review called Prince of Persia: Two Thrones. Then we're going to review the Three Penny Opera, which is just about to close on Broadway, and we'll sort of talk a little bit about that. And then finally, we're going to finish by reviewing a podcast called The Eclectic Review, which I think is pretty neat, and we'll talk about that. And at the very end, we might talk a little bit about something called Giznoogle if we have time. But we're going to start by talking about Prince of Persia: The Two Thrones.
My prince, the day of reckoning has arrived.
Be on your guard.
I always am.
A choice must be made. Choose well, and you will restore peace and justice to your people.
Run!
Choose poorly, and all that you have fought for, all that you have sacrificed, will be for naught. It is your decision, my prince. Make it wisely.
As a young warrior, he made a fatal mistake.
Only the dagger can unlock the sands of time.
For 7 years, he wandered the globe searching for redemption.
All of this destruction is my doing.
At last, he returned home, believing he had cheated fate.
We are nearly home.
He was wrong.
No!
You must be the Prince of Persia. Come home at last. Too late, I'm afraid.
As the forces of evil grow ever stronger,
no!
He must face a terrifying question.
What have I become?
As he fights to save his kingdom.
All hail the Prince of Persia!
Who will save him from himself?
You have been infected by the sands of time. You have been given the ability to destroy your enemies. Now use it.
One warrior, two souls. Prince of Persia, The Two Thrones. Available now. Rated M for mature.
This is a game, by the way, which you can find at princeofpersiagame.com/US. And it's a game which is available for PS2. It's available for Xbox. Why you would want to go there, I don't know. But it's available for computer. It's available for GameCube. So it's available for everything. And what do you think, babe? Why don't you give a couple comments about
this? Do you remember when it came out?
I think this was out last year. I want to say maybe June or July. And I know it's an older game, but we wanted to do a game review.
We're a year late on review.
Yeah, we're kind of late on it, yeah.
But, I don't know what to say.
This is our bargain bin review. If you're looking for a game to play in a bargain bin, this is the one to find.
Right, right. Okay, so if you haven't played it already and you're looking for a cheap game.
Which is good. Yeah.
Prince of Persia. But I think that we should... Because, you know, we don't know our audience, right? We don't know all of the different people,
right?
Things that they like, things that make them throw the remote at the screen.
It's true.
So maybe we should say the things that we liked.
Right.
And then the things that made Greg swear a lot.
Things that make me go, Yeah.
No, things that make you go bleep, 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 gosh, bleep, 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 going to be frustrated for a couple of hours.
That's so wrong. I am so in control when we play these games.
Right.
It's just so unfair.
Denial is the first step.
Well, so let's say a little bit about what the game is, first of all. Prince of Persia, many of you will be familiar with, was originally a game that came out back in the mid-80s. And I think it was for, I want to say Commodore 64. It was a computer game first. Probably not Commodore, actually. Probably couldn't handle it. But maybe it was the late 80s. But it originally came out for computer, and it was known as a platform game, which is one of those Super Mario-type games where you have a guy who's running around, and he jumps up on ledges, and he has to jump over things. Some people call these a Twitch game, where you have to be able to click left and right on your keyboard and do things like that very quickly. And it was well-known because there were so many interesting things that you had to do in the game. It wasn't just a matter of, like, watching out for the guy who shoots at you had to be able to figure out puzzles and to be able to do things quickly. And so Prince of Persia has a long time following. And
It came out before Tomb Raider?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, Tomb Raider...
So Tomb Raider kind of probably took some of the idea from this.
But yeah, and that's a good point, actually, because as we're going to talk about, in a lot of ways, this game is what Tomb Raider should have been, I think, in some ways. But anyway, so now the versions of games that have come out since then, they've obviously got all this 3D stuff, and there are a couple of versions. I believe Prince of Persia: The Warrior Within was one of them, and there was another one as well that I can't recall. And then this one, which is
The Sands of Time.
That's right. Yep. And then the third one was this one, Prince of Persia: The Two Thrones. So it too is a platformer, but as opposed to the other one, this is actually the camera is set behind the Prince of Persia, and you're basically running around. You have to solve puzzles. You have to jump on walls. You have to be able to do different things. But there's lots of little sort of quirks to it that we think makes the game better than your normal type of game like this would be. You want to talk about a little bit about that, Clea? Like some of the unique stuff?
Well, the music, the score is quite good.
Music's really good, yeah.
The score is quite good. And, you know, one of the important features that for gamers like us is we do want to like the character that we're supposed to be.
And he's cool.
And we do like him. We do find him annoying at times.
Especially when he becomes
his alter ego. That's what I was going to get to. You just said what we found enjoyable. We haven't gotten yet to
the part
that makes Greg swear.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
Okay.
Swearing to come soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the graphics are good. The costume design. The acting is good.
Yes. Which, by the way, as some of you will know, acting is not always so good, but it was good in this one.
But it was good. The voices are good. And some of the nice little touches of the way that they save and the voices, what they say when you save. But speaking of saving, you know, again, and this could actually be a whole debate that you could have around the whole concept of what really the importance of making save points so difficult are anymore. So overall, I felt that the design and what he made you do was kind of cool. I mean, one of the things that I really liked about Tomb Raider was the funky stuff that you could make her do, that she could be hanging on a ledge and then somehow with like the strength of God lift herself up, because you have to have the strength of God.
Physically impossible stuff, you know.
If you're going to lift those boobs up and do a back walkover from a handstand. So he could do some pretty ridiculous moves.
Yeah.
Very ridiculous moves.
Definitely true.
And you actually could fairly easily learn how to do them. But also... But I guess the difficulties that also come with that are the same that, you know, in other games and other things that make this game maybe not as fun. And that is that there are certain times when you're doing the thing that you say you're supposed to do and the game doesn't do it.
Well, when you have the amount of freedom that this game grants you, right? You know, you're able to do, I mean, there are points where you can run, you know, you're running towards a gap and a pit that you can't jump over, and it allows you to wall run. So you actually, you know, run up the left side of the wall and you're running on the wall for a certain period of time, and then you get onto the ledge on the other side. Those things are really amazing. I mean, that's an amazing amount of freedom. The sort of downside to that is that because there's so much freedom, the physics of the game sometimes just don't handle it properly. So, you know, you have to cut it right close to the edge, and you've got to start wall running exactly at the right moment. There are times when you do it at the right moment and the game just doesn't notice it because it's in the middle of processing the camera, figuring out the music, here's the enemy shooting the spear, you know, and there's just so okay. much stuff that it kind of misses it. So that can be frustrating, but okay. I understand that it's ambitious, so, you know.
Okay. Well, next time when it's really frustrating and you're swearing and getting really angry, if yeah. you could just remember that it's ambitious.
I'm just showing the game who's boss, man. I'm like, back off game.
Okay. So then the final thing that was the most annoying
right.
is, and it was probably the selling point.
Oh, wait, though, before we go to that, the save point thing that you mentioned, just one quick thing about that, just in general, to programmers, developers, everyone out there. Newsflash, it's 2006. You no longer need to have save points because consoles now are more or less like mini computers. You can have people save anywhere. Okay? That was the thing that was irritating to me, is there are these points where you do these brilliant moves and it's like, no, now all you have to do is get through the gauntlet of death and you can save the game. Otherwise, you've lost the last 20 minutes. Adding in sort of a random difficulty factor because you can't save enough, that's not difficulty, that's just annoying. And so, that's just my general, it's not just this game, games in general, please, drop the save points. Just let people save wherever you have the capability, you have the technology, you can do it. Okay, so, the other parts.
Okay. I'd be interested to hear, though, if there are other points of view on that, so feel free to email us if you disagree.
If you'd like save points, let us know.
But then in this is that you're playing both the prince, and then he also will turn into another character.
Right, who is the Dark Prince, which is sort of the darker portion of his soul. I mean, we don't want to spoil the story for you, but the story, which, by the way, is very good, but the dark part of his soul is what you turn into, yeah.
And so when you're the prince, you have natural health points that can go down, mm-hmm. and you can't rejuvenate them. There is no health vials or healing herbs
yeah.
or anything
Nothing.
In this game at all.
You have to do it
so
at the
when
save
you're
point.
The prince, you have to just hope you survive until the save point.
Right.
But when you're the dark prince, your health can be regenerated as you kill things and they produce sand and you suck up the sand.
Right.
But your health is constantly going down at all times while you're the Dark Prince.
Another irritating thing.
So if you don't go fast enough, your health will run out and you'll die.
Plus, the Dark Prince, he sucks, okay? I mean, like, he's got a whip and they're like, oh, he's got a chain whip. Yeah, it's a bad chain whip, okay? I could have done more with,
but
you know,
I don't understand
a piece of
this,
wet
Greg.
String.
I don't understand this, though. I continuously tried to point out to you that, no, you could do ridiculous moves with that chain thing. While you were the other guy, you could do really cool moves, but you'd have to work really hard at it. Well, if you got the move just right with the chain thing, you would kill a guy with like a flip
yeah.
of your wrist.
Well, I admit that I started figuring that out towards the sort of latter half of the game, but still, I found this kind of irritating. But the one cool thing about both, when Clea mentioned the sands, this is sort of a holdover from previous games. You have something called the Sands of Time, and you have different powers that you can do with them. So there are points, for example, if you try to make a super powerful jump and you miss it, you can actually reverse time, which is, and each time you do that, it uses up some of the sand that you collected. Now, that's a really cool idea, and it's something which is really implemented really well, I think, within the course of the game. It's just too bad that you have the Dark Prince that ruins it all. No,
as long
kidding.
As you remember
I just don't like
what
the Dark Prince.
As long as you remember what button it is and you don't press it by accident, which
yes.
you do every once in a while, when you would get really frustrated.
Well, I was trying to block and all of a sudden I'm reversing time and I'm like, yo, I wasn't trying to reverse time, I was trying to block. You know, and the guy's like, no, now I kill you, you're trying to reverse time. Anyway. But in general, I think the point is, you know, leaving these little nitpicks aside, it is an entertaining game. It is fun. It's a one-person game, a one-player game only, by the way. Clea watched while I did some of the stuff on the controller. But if you're anything like Clea and myself, Clea has a very good eye for these games, and so she could say, you need to try this or do this or do this.
Well, that's the way we played Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
As I would tell you, it helps to have someone else there helping you figure things out.
Definitely. Because
you really are sometimes looking in a room and you have I mean, that's the thing, right? There's things that you can do in this game that you can't do in other games. But that means you have to go outside of the box to try to figure out what you can do.
Because it means look up or look left or look right.
Even more, because what in other game you could only simply jump up. Here you could possibly run along that wall up here, go around, go underneath. I mean, you could do all these different things. So
definitely.
It means you have to really think about what the game programmers thought of.
So... But my understanding is that this is a game available for all platforms. I think it's available, you know, and probably you could get this game, I would guess at this point, for probably about $20 on average, maybe $25.
Do we think the game was long enough? Because I know that's another thing.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought the length was pretty good, didn't you? I mean, I thought that it was something like maybe 35 hours or 30 hours or something like that. Yeah, for a game like this, a lot of these games run too short, but this was a lot of value, I think.
Yeah.
In general, just a very good professional production. It's done by Ubisoft Montreal, which is a good company. And Clea and I liked it, and we think if you're interested in anything like this, a combination of good story, which is what I always look for in these things, and good music, professional acting, and an overall good thing, sort of overcome the nitpick. So I would say, for me, I think this is like a 4 out of 5. That's what I would say to count for the music, I mean, the save point and the dark prints and all that.
Okay, I'll say 4. But we should really make sure we start reviewing things we don't like. Otherwise, people are going to think that we're really easy graders.
Oh, well, we got Time Warner. That's two.
until they look you up on whatever that teacher's review thing.
Oh, Rate My Professors, yeah. Well, yeah. I got nothing to say about
that. He's great, but he gave me C's.
But he's tough grader, which is the best combination. So, Prince of Persia, The Two Thrones. Again, you can find it at princeofpersiagame.com/US. Excellent game, and 4 out of 5 stars. Okay. Next on the docket is Three Penny Opera, and this is just about to close. It's actually playing at Studio 54 in New York City, and the reason that it's sort of well-known is because it stars a couple of big-time stars, including Cyndi Lauper, who you will all remember, those of you who know anything about pop music from the 80s or 90s. Cyndi Lauper, who plays the role of Jenny in this, and then Alan Cumming is the main character who plays McKeith, and this is Mack the Knife. Any of you have heard of that song, you will know something about this. The Three Penny Opera is actually written by Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht, who were an innovative composer and innovative playwright, respectively, at the sort of the early 20th century, I guess I would say. And they were doing an update of something called The Beggar's Opera by a guy named John Gay. So this is the modern 2006 Broadway adaptation of it, which is at Studio 54, which used to be a famous club, and now it's a theater. And it's done by the Roundabout Theater Company. You can find their website at www.thepennyonbroadway.com. What do you think, Clea?
Well, I want to say that, again, I mean, it actually has closed. It closed this weekend.
Oh, okay. Just closed.
But the reason I want to bring it up is because I want to mention that if it comes out on DVD or the soundtrack comes out, it is worth getting.
Or if it comes to your town as a traveling company
or
something.
Or if it comes out, but I don't know if it will be doing that. But I also want to just use it as a platform to mention the Roundabout Theater Company.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a company, they have 3 theaters that they own.
Yeah.
And they have been around for, I think, 40 years. I think this year is their 40th anniversary.
Yeah, a long time.
And they have, I want to say, so they always have 3 shows, and I want to say that they do 3 or 4 sets of shows a year.
Mm-hmm.
But just to know, if you ever come to New York City and you're trying to think of what show to go to, one way that you can choose a show is by, you know, what's been popular.
Yep.
Another way to choose a show is to...
Checking out my reviews on curtainup.com.
Is to go to Greg's...
Shameless plug off.
Right. another way is to see what interests you in seeing a basic description of the shows.
Yep.
And another way is to go by a trusted company.
Yep.
And I have gone to more shows through the Roundabout Theater Company than any other company.
Yep.
So when I heard that Roundabout was doing a show, I was like, okay, so it's going to be good. And then I heard it had Alan Cumming. Your average Joe would have known him from X-Men. He was the Nightcrawler.
He was Nightcrawler. That's right.
Oh, I thought you knew that, honey.
No, no wonder I freaking liked him. I love Nightcrawler and X-Men.
Well,
oh, my.
He is
that's so funny.
Brilliant actor.
Yeah.
Very gifted.
Oh, cool. I didn't even think
he
of that.
Also,
okay.
For... your chicks, if there's chicks listening, he was...
that's women, for those of you.
Right. He was in Emma.
He's very
gifted. And I think he's Scottish.
Yeah, he is Scottish. He was
Scottish.
Trained at the Royal Academy of Scotland and the whole Royal Theatre Academy.
And so he could do a myriad of different accents, and he can really bring physicality into his acting.
Yep.
And he seems smart to me.
Yep.
He seems like a smart person and therefore a smart actor. So I heard that he was in it. I'm like, awesome. And then, of course, Cyndi Lauper is in it.
And Clea has a personal love. She thinks Cyndi Lauper a lot.
I like Cyndi Lauper because she's such a gifted singer. She really sings from the bottom of, like, just pulling the soul out of the earth through her body and just really projecting it. And she's just an amazing, gifted performer.
And I want to support that for a minute because I know that there are some people who are going to be like, what? She did the Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Okay, Cyndi Lauper did a lot of pop stuff. But unlike people that I don't respect as singers, Madonna, Cyndi Lauper has a certain ability, has a certain range. I don't mean, you know, high, low, but a certain ability to sing in a number of different genres and sound pretty good doing it because of the emotion that she draws out, which was evident in this. I mean, her role of Jenny, who is this prostitute that falls in love with Mac the Knife, who was played by Alan Cumming, she starts the show. And so they come out, and as they're doing this thing, you hear her doing the, you know, have you heard of, and she's doing the Mac the Knife thing, and she's... I mean, it's compelling. I mean, it's a deeply compelling thing. So,
I don't know if many people know this, but Cyndi Lauper is a gifted singer. She's pushing. What hell did you think she? It was her birthday actually that night.
We all wished her happy birthday. Mid to late.
But she still has her voice, and that's because she's a gifted singer. Madonna was not a singer; she was a ballet dancer.
Right.
And so she's a gifted dancer, but she really can't sing.
Wow.
But Cyndi Lauper also is a songwriter.
Yep.
And Britney Spears is not. She does what you tell her to do.
As I pointed out to Clea, I'd love to see when Britney Spears gets on Broadway. Oh boy, you know it
then
takes.
You'll see her true colors.
Yeah, oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah. Okay. However, I did feel that they did a usual thing of let's make this modern, and this is a seedy underworld, so let's make it gay and transgender. And I kind of had an issue with that. Leather S&M stuff theme, because I feel it's been done before.
Yeah, two quick things about that. For those of you who are not familiar with the story, the Three Penny Opera basically follows the travails of this guy, Mac the Knife, who is a criminal, a criminal mastermind of the underworld. And as Clea says, you know, he's supposed to be kind of a guy with charm, but he's a real rogue. And although we liked a lot of things that were done about this production, one of the things that, and I think this is just a sort of general complaint, I don't know why everything in the free world to be modern has to involve transvestites and crack pipes. Because apparently that's all that happens in modern times now, is that you just have a bunch of transvestites doing crack, and all of a sudden we're in modern times. And also dropping the F-bomb every third word, because this was a translation of a translation, and in this translation they decided that the F-bomb would be a good thing to use constantly. So that we didn't like so much, and we didn't think was necessary, and it didn't really add anything to the production. But
well, except that I do want to make a point that they did use it, because this does speak to society and trends with the society of the moral wealthy looking down on the immoral poor.
True, and it is raunchy.
And they did have certain points where they were saying, making commentary on, not flat out, but obvious side commentary on the movement, you know, that can still prevails around gay marriage and lack of acceptance. And so I do want to make a point that I understand that although there has been there, done that, the fight is not over, and that's why I'm sure they made this choice.
Sure.
But I still feel that it detracted.
This was all confirmed because Carson from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was in attendance at this show. So clearly, with the gay community, this is fit in as being kind of something which speaks to them. And to be fair, Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht themselves wanted to make this an edgy commentary about society. I mean, it was shocking when it first came out. So I totally agree with you on that. I just think that maybe the extent of it is not necessarily, you know, wasn't necessary. But I agree with you that in general terms, it's true. The thing about this production that really does work, though, so we didn't necessarily like all of those sort of modernizations entirely. But the thing that works well is the set is great, first of all. It's a series of these neon signs that sort of reflect, okay, we're in
very
London, we're in here.
Very minimalist.
And then you've got some other things as well. You've got, in addition to those minimalist signs, sort of professionalism of the sound design was really well done. A lot of the acting was very well done. And the music, the music is astonishing. It's compelling. It's innovative. It's thoughtful. If you have a chance to go and look and find some work by Kurt Weill, who was a composer, by the way, I believe he was originally brought up in Austria, and he fled the Nazis in the early 20th century. His work and Brecht's work together, Brecht writing the words, he writing the music, is really astonishing. And so, you know, despite the modernization problems, despite these other things, Clea's right. This is a professional production by a professional company, and there's frankly not enough of that. You know, in a world when you need to take, you know, the fifth revival of Chicago or the 75th revival of, you know, 42nd Street, it is nice to see the occasional company that's taking more of a risk by doing something like this. And I think we came away from it feeling like we had, this was money well spent, I think, for us, right? So what would you, I would say that we would give this, this is floating somewhere in the four range for me also.
I'm saying four because I didn't like all of the core.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say four.
Okay. So we would say 4 out of 5. And again, if you get a chance to see the DVD, get it. If you have a chance to get the soundtrack, get it. Or if it comes to your hometown, do it. It's worthwhile and it's worth seeing and we recommend it. Again, you can find it at the number 3, pennyonbroadway.com. Last item on the docket for tonight is a podcast which was sent to us for review, submitted to us for review, and it's called The Eclectic Review.
Welcome to The Eclectic Review, where science and science fiction collide.
I'm Glory Jaffe, an aspiring scientist and graduate student in ecology.
And I'm Stuart Jaffe, a science fiction writer.
Here we talk about everything and anything having to do with science and science fiction. News, reviews, writing, and more, plus a smattering of fantasy, horror, and whatever else happens to fall on our plates, or that we feel like talking about.
Hey, it ain't called eclectic for nothing.
You just wanted to say ain't.
And it's run by two people who are married, Stuart Jaffe and Glory Jaffe.
Do you know how old they are?
I don't know. No, not for sure. I mean, I would guess that they were maybe, you know, late 30s, early 40s, something like that. I mean, they're not.
Really?
I would think so. I think so. I might have said
early 30s.
Maybe I'm over. Maybe it's mid 30s. Maybe I apologize.
They have a young one. It sounds. I don't know how old the kid is.
Gabe. I think Gabe is like 7 or 8. That's why I thought they were maybe a little bit older.
I guess you're
but
right,
she's a graduate student, so I don't know. Anyway, she's a graduate student in ecology, and Stuart actually has a BS in theater design. He told me, or theater directing, excuse me. But he's a science fiction writer, and so their show, The Eclectic Review, which you can find, by the way, at Eclectic eclectic.libsyn.com. And their show bills itself as a show where science and science fiction collide. So they're kind of a mix between, I guess, a couple cast and a science fiction show. So the good thing about them, and I really like a lot, I mean, there are a lot of things that I like about this show. Number one, the show has only been out, I think they're up to their 6th or 7th episode. And one of the things that they do very well is it is a pleasure, let me say this again, a pleasure to listen to intelligent people discussing things intelligently. I can't tell you. There are so many shows out there of people who are like, so here's something, oh, I'm drunk, oh, burp, you know, that who cares, okay? If you want to do that stuff, and this is something for a later show because we're running out of time, but if you want to do stuff where you just sit around and blabber, you could do that without forcing us to listen to it, right?
Well, and you're not great, forcing, don't listen.
Yeah,
that's the quintessential American thing,
but
right?
Then why
don't
listen. But then why do it, right? But the good thing about these people is that they have a focus and they'll do different things. You know, they often talk about the way science and art interact. On one of their shows, they've started a new series where they have something called Anatomy of an Alien, where they're actually building an alien. So they go, okay, here's a really icy cold planet. What kind of a creature would there be on an icy cold planet? And then using Glory's science knowledge and then Stuart's science fiction knowledge, they sort of construct what this alien would be like. That's really interesting, and it's interesting precisely because it's not some random thing that I have no access to. You know, it's something that I can go, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. I mean, I'm more of a fantasy guy than a science fiction guy, but I like science fiction. But anybody who's just sort of interested in listening to two intelligent people talk, there's two intelligent people talking, and it's a pleasure to hear that.
Well, I think also that they're also focused on education in that bringing concepts and websites and stuff like that to people's knowledge. And I appreciate that. Just as I hope that we can do that, they've done that. And I, on the one review thing that we listened to, they suggested people look at this one website, National Science Foundation. They have winners of photography and stuff like that. And they are some really cool things
on there.
That do you see what that is?
Yeah.
That is a deer tick on the ear of a golden hamster.
She's asking me, by the way, not you, if you see it, because clearly you don't.
It is an amazing picture.
Yeah, it's wild.
And so I appreciate that. And I do have to say that I very easily tuned out sometimes while they were talking. And I don't know if that was because I've gotten too much out of school and therefore start multitasking and forget that I'm listening and so tuned out. Because I don't think it's that they weren't engaging.
Mm-hmm.
They say things in a way that language that I think most people can understand.
Yep.
They obviously find the subject matter very interesting.
Yep.
We listened to the second one and the sixth one.
I actually listened to all of them because I was on my way up to rehearsal, so I listened to all of them in a row. But yeah,
and in the second one, they address a very important issue that I, of course, feel powerless to affect change in, but still it's important for more and more people to understand species being brought into areas where they weren't originally meant to be.
Invasive exotics, Glory calls
which,
them.
Which we used to say, oh, those stupid people in the olden days doing that. But then she makes a good point that modern day scientists are making the same error in trying to fix those problems and making things worse.
Yep.
And so it's a very valid point. So I appreciated it. I want to say that I find the music in the beginning and the end really annoying.
Well, there's a couple. Yeah. So is that what you wanted to say that was good about it? Because there's a couple things we should talk about a couple things that to be improved.
You're trying to organize me, Greg. I'm just on a roll, so you need to just stop that right now.
You've got to get into sync, damn it.
Right. And speaking of which, the couple dynamic.
Yeah. Well, that's So let's bring up a couple things here that are issues. First of all, the music part. I don't know how to say this. I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't like the music. First of all, it's not well played. I don't know if this is Stewart or if it's Chiglori, and maybe it's just because my band is recording an album right now, so this has been on my mind, but it's just the music isn't very good. It's out of sync and out of beat, and it's too loud oftentimes. But more to the point, it also just doesn't seem to fit the show. I mean, I would expect something sort of science-y, and all of a sudden I'm getting like, you know,
weird
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Picking.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And in terms of the audio related to that, mm-hmm. it's too loud, mm-hmm. and the audio in general, there are moments during their show where all of a sudden something will clip to hell, and they'll be going along, and all of a sudden it's like, rah, 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 and you hear this, you know, incredible noise, which just to be, and this is just, having done 35 plus shows at the Met Report now and doing, you know, the show here, I can tell you that if you have somebody on a subway or in an iPod, the quickest way to get rid of them is to have inconsistent volume like that, where all of a sudden they're going to get their eardrums blown out when they don't expect it. So I would try to be more careful about the audio in terms of the volume levels all through, and I would definitely work on changing the music because that doesn't work. I have one other thing, but I'll let you.
I didn't notice the volume thing, so.
Okay, that was on a couple of the episodes. That I noticed. It wasn't consistent, but
I just want to note, like, power to my woman. I'm also a Mario fan, which says, I guess, bad things about the fact that we're both women and we both love Mario.
Yeah,
Mario. Overall, I think just the last thing to take into consideration is that in a way it is a couple cast because we are seeing a couple dynamic, and the couple dynamic of the sarcastic female. I wouldn't know anything about that.
No.
Every once in a while correcting the easygoing husband.
Right.
You wouldn't know anything about that.
No.
And I just would be careful with it because they both seem to have a fairly good sense of humor,
yep.
can laugh things off, but sometimes what they say is not as funny as how they find it. Was that a politically correct way of saying
it? No, I think that's true. I would even add to that there are moments that seem to me, because I listened to all of these coming up, there are moments that seem awkward. And part of it is because, and this is just as a listener, I started to find this sort of continual jibes that Glory has on Stewart, who is very easygoing, to be a little wearing. And it wasn't just her, it's the way that he responds to it, the way that he kind of was like, and he would keep stopping because she,
yeah.
And so that gets irritating to me as a listener if I have to hear it over and over and over again. And look, they've been married, I think they said, for 10 or 11 years. Their son, the episode where they had their son on was really, he seems like a really cool kid, and they seem to have a very good relationship. It's just that as a listener, that gets very wearing after a while to sort of constantly hear Glory saying, but then this, and but you forgot this, and then this, and Stewart giving this kind of nervous laugh. So I would be careful about that dynamic because, and by the way, I'd say the same thing if it was all sweetness and light. I mean, that would get boring too. If, oh no, you're the sweetest. No, you're the sweetest. No, you're my honey bear. That also gets old.
Don't call me your honey bear.
That's not going to happen. And clearly, Clea and I do not have trouble with being sarcastic with each other, but I think the difference is that, you know, we're not, it's not a sort of constant sort of, it's almost like a background drone that gets old after
right.
a while.
Right. And my point is, being also a female that can be sarcastic and pointing wrong things out at her husband, I didn't find that annoying, but I did find the second point that you made what was annoying, in that he will then stop and say, right, Dole, okay, and then you're going
you're busting
to
my chops.
Me,
yeah.
And I'm like, ugh, just get on with what your point is. And it might be that, it was, well, as other things, might partially be why I sometimes would then lose track of what they were saying.
Yep.
Because I want to follow everything. They're talking about really important in-depth stuff, and they're so smart that they can just keep going and pick up where they left off, but I might lose the train of thought in what they were describing, and I want to make sure I don't lose it.
Right, and they certainly, as you say, you know, they know where they are, but we don't necessarily know where they are because we're not thinking the thoughts they are at that time. So, yeah, so I think that's true. So the two audio things, the music and the audio, sort of the volume inconsistencies at times, and sort of working on that dynamic and to sort of make it not quite so one note in terms of what she says and then him stopping every time, those things I think would both help.
What did we give Rambling...
Rambling Retard Rampage, I believe we gave a 3.5 is what I wanted to
say.
I think that's what we gave it.
No, I think I said 3. I said 3.
It might have been, yeah, I think it was either 3 or 3.5. It was in that vicinity.
It's 3.
I like this podcast. I would give it a 4. I know that we've given a couple of 4s this time. And maybe, you know, I could see myself going to a 3.5 if need be. I think they've got stuff to work on, but it is just such a pleasure to hear two smart people talking about smart things that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll go with 4. I was going to say 3.5 because I think that they need to cut some things out. I think they try to accomplish too much in each show.
3.75.
Sounds good. I think that they would like that.
Between a 3. Yeah, exactly. That would fit perfectly. 3.5 divided by pi. Okay, guys? That's your review. But 3.5 to 4.
No, it's not math. It's science. So we shouldn't assume that those are the same thing.
I know. I'm sorry. Well, that's because I'm an English person, right?
Right.
But anyway, so that's the deal with that.
And you should contact him.
Oh, I did. We've been talking about stuff. He has some good things to say about writing.
Sci-fi? Okay.
Yes,
good.
And he actually says some things about writing even in the show. So, So that's what we would give it as a 4. And now that we've run clearly well over what we normally would, just one very quick thing before we sign off, which is a website that we probably have already heard. It's called Gizoogle. And it's basically GIZOOGLE.com. And the reason that we are paying attention to it is it's this thing that these kids came up with.
My best friend who works at a computer programming company sent it to me. And of course, you know, the first thing you do is if you put in an internet website that you know, and it will translate it into gangster speak.
Right. So upon further review, became for them. Upon mother effa review, where two brother get the last word on everything. We've also, at some points, apparently we're also upon gangster review. We've also been upon player review. That was another one.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, there's some of these things I don't even get. In this show, we discuss the finer points of fine and not so fizzle restaurant as we review Burrito Loco and Per Se and whizzy up with a review of the show, Fizzy, everyone's favorite wild man, El Nacho, doggy style and retard rampage. Reviewed in this shizay, you know, I don't know what the hell. Some of this stuff doesn't even go on. Do you remember the one thing where it was like, you know, and Snoop with the pot of the whizzy kazow zoo, but like what is that translating? But anyway,
well, they're two college students, right?
I guess that's right.
Two college students who put this together. It's fun.
It's cool, and you can put anything in there. You can put in, like, you can, when you go to their page, gizoogle.com, you can put in
from
that, you can go to cnn.com or whatever. So I guess we'll close off by saying thank you guys again for doing this, and in the words of Gizoogle, please let us kizzle whiz at you think to shizzle, which I think means let us know what you thought of our show. Thanks a lot, everyone. We will see you guys in 1 week for more review goodness, and if you're interested in having something for us to review, please let us know. Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
Have a good night. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work out.